our nation, for example, why do we have national holidays? It's not just so we can have a day off from work. That wasn't the intent. The intent was so that we could remember something that's significant that happened in our country. Amen? The season of Lent was instituted so that we could have a period of time in our year, if you want to look at it that way, where we would concentrate, intentionalize, however it is you want to call focus, on these events. Time, you see, is marching towards the betrayal of Jesus Christ, this Nazarene, this itinerant preacher, this prophesying one of God who became or was the Son of God that was not recognized as such. And because of all of these claims and because of his ministries and because of this march of time, if you will, it led to a point in history when he was arrested. Amen? And after his arrest, he had what was called a trial, but there was really no evidence, was there? And after his trial, he was pronounced guilty, worthy of death, so the march of time went to the crucifixion. And we can't even comprehend in this day and age what that crucifixion was all about. That led to his death, to his burial, and then for us who can put a smile on our face, to his resurrection. Listen to the reading, one of the readings of this fourth Sunday of Lent. It's out of Psalms 34. Everything within me wants to pay tribute to him. Whenever the poor and humble hear of his greatness, they will celebrate too. Come and lift up the eternal with me. Let's praise his name together. When I needed the Lord, I looked for him. I called out to him, and he heard me and responded. He came and he rescued me from everything that made me so afraid. I hope you can say those words. I hope you are one this morning that says, when I needed the Lord, I called upon him, and he came and he saved me. That's why we celebrate this sacrament of the church called Holy Communion. And here at Dayspring, in case you're visiting, we have an open communion, which just means all are invited to partake. I'd like the ushers to come at this time, if you will, and they will hand out some bread. Just take a piece of bread and hold it, and we will enjoy the communion of bread together. While they're handing this out, we'll sing this wonderful song. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great, but grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden, hope, and liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Wow. So on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it. He tore it apart. And he handed it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Wow. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. Lord Jesus, help us to remember the words of this song, that mercy there was great and the grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied even to me. It was there, O God, that my burdened soul found liberty. Right there, O God, at your cross, Calvary. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We are humbled when we think of what you've done for us. And we do give you thanks. Amen. Brothers, if you would, the cup, please. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing fine or sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Wow. You know, the Bible says that life is in the blood. And while we were singing, I don't know why I've never thought of this before, but oh, precious is the flow. I started to think about the flow of blood. I don't know what age it starts happening, but when I go to the doctor now, one of the things he does is he checks my carotid artery. You know, he puts his scope up there and he listens to what? He listens to the flow of blood going down my neck. And praise God, it's flowing. Let that settle in you. Do we have the blood of Jesus flowing in us? Have we been made new creatures in Christ? Has he let the old man die and let us put on the new man? However it is you want to try and capture the flow, the blood of Jesus. Wow. Because likewise, after supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup, and parenthetically, everything in it, the wine and the flow, this cup is a new covenant that I make with you in my blood. Wow. Do this, he said, in remembrance of me. Yes, Lord, even as blood flows through our vessels, so this juice flows into our body. Help us to remember you today, O God. Help us to understand what you have done for us at the cross. Help us to know that your blood cleanses us of all sin as we give you thanks today. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and continue our worship. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am weak because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because of Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Lord, we give you our thanks today. There is no other God we worship. You are the one. We come to glorify you, to worship you, to give you praise in Jesus' name. I come to glorify you again, testify with you, speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. I come to glorify you, identify with you, speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. I come to crown you King, your praise as I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. Amen and amen, O God. We come this morning giving you praise and worship, glorifying your name in this place and within our own lives, O God. We give you thanks. Amen. Amen. Let the richness, the fullness, the grace of God be all over you as you share with one another how good He is. Say hi to each other. So we're going to do get to heaven. What a rejoicing that will be, oh, and we all see Jesus shout the victory. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. Take your seats now and give him praises. Prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all take our chairs now, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout. Hallelujah! Wow, glory to God. It didn't work. It doesn't matter what we sing. Oh my goodness. Dayspring, come to order. Right now. I don't know what y'all are thinking, but here's what I'm thinking. Is Mike Ross here? Is Mike Ross here? Come on up here, Mike. How about Andrea Turpening? Andrea Turpening, would you please come up here? John Domer, is he in the house or did he not make it today? Oh, he's here. Come on up here, John. Yeah. Gracie Irving is in the house. Come here, Gracie. Oh, you're down here. Jonah Mails, I know you're here because you're talking to your mother. Come on up here. Ray Hess. Raimondo Hess. Miriam Irving, I think she's here. Come on up, Miriam. Steve Haloviar. Steve Haloviar. He looked at me like, am I crazy? Steve, come on right up here with these people. Shirley Soper. No Shirley today. Okay. Now these...
David Robinson and Mitchell Robinson.
David and Mitchell Robinson. Please come up here.
And Julianne.
And Julianne. Woo! Okay. Those of you that have no clue what's going on, on the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate your birthday. So anybody else have a birthday in the month of March that we did not call? Anyone else that we can dutifully humiliate? And because it's their birthday month, and that means you Dayspringers, you know what you do. Here we go. Stevie's got it. A happy birthday to you. A happy birthday to you. Of the year, may you find Jesus near. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best one you've ever. Look out now, here it comes. So lift them high in the sky. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. So lift it high in the sky. Let the whole world know that the King is in residence there. You may be seated. I would like to have a denominational test sometime, because when you say lift it high, who lifts it here and who lifts it here? Who are these people? Anita, are these the Baptists? Are these the Baptists and these are the Pentecostals? Huh? Okay. Oh my goodness. let's have some more fun. What do you say? Norm, come on up. We'll do this before the offering. Norm has good things. You got a microphone, too.
Wow. While we're having our men's retreat this coming weekend, so this is kind of like the last time to sign up for it. However, if you can't make up your mind until Thursday or Friday, that's okay, too. Just let me know before we get all down there so we can make arrangements. Chef Dubin is going to be a little tied up just a bit, but he gave me the menu. Let's see if this will entice you or not. Friday night, potato chips and hamburger with beans. Note, put ham in the oven or whatever. Okay, that's right. Saturday morning is our typical breakfast.
Wait. You missed an addition on Friday night.
Jello?
Friday night. Ribs.
Is that on there?
No.
I guess we're having ribs, too. However, if you can't get down early, the whole thing starts about 7:30. So the idea is that if you need to get something to eat before you come down after work, do that. But there'll be food there for you, so you won't go hungry. Saturday morning, ham, bacon, sausage. Good stuff. Dugan just cannot do a breakfast without bacon, and a lot of it. Your cardiologist will be on call. Eggs, hash browns, and chip steak for lunch. Saturday night, this is going to be good. Stewed, it's not really stewed chicken. It's three chickens cut up in pieces and then baked together with onions, carrots, celery, bell peppers. Cheryl and I just had this the other night. It was phenomenal, so it'll be good. Dinner rolls, maybe stuffing, applesauce, ice cream, shortcake, strawberries, and more ham. Sunday morning, repeat of Saturday morning. And maybe with pancakes, too. So, if you need to carpool, the sign-up list is over there. Sign up, and if you need a ride down, look at who's going, and then kind of hook up with that person about what time you think you want to go down there. We've tried to organize carpools, and it just doesn't seem to work very well. So just kind of do that on your own. And Saturday afternoon is pretty much free time. So we will be doing golf, maybe, if the weather is good. Of course, we always got the bumper cars and the putt-putt golf and walking on the beach and just enjoy taking a nap, whatever you want to do. But everything is on that flyer. So, with that,
membership.
Can I have that?
Oh, I know what you were thinking. You were thinking what Madison has.
Want to do that first?
Sure. That's what Madison has.
Let's do Madison.
While we're waiting, notice, ladies, that we did have carrots on the menu.
There is a heart God has set within us as men. And stories like this, stories that you love, the ones that you would choose to play, the stories are calling to us. And you're trying to awaken us and bring us back, almost like smelling salts, right? To awaken the soul of the man that God put in you, created you. Everything you want in this life, and everything you were destined to be,
resilience on that.
Michael Nelson put
Michael
that together.
Michael Nelson and Rachel Nelson produced that. We now have a new ministry called Dayspring Studio. Do you know that? Well, Michael Nelson is going to be presenting with us, for us. And that, by the way, was John Eldridge. If you're not familiar with him, he is an incredible guy who loves men's hearts, and he wants us to get close, get in touch with it. So, again, sign up there. And we want to see as many as you can be there. Don't let the fee interfere. There are scholarships available. So let me know or let Skip know if you need a scholarship. And then when you write a check or cash and give it to me, and we'll get into the treasury here. So, okay?
Membership.
All right. You know, we talk about membership here. You don't have to be a member to attend Dayspring. But if you want to be a voting member and want to vote for the things that we talk about at the annual meeting, which will be April 3rd, or if you want to be on the board, if you want to be an elder or a pastor here. to teach here, you know, to work in ministry, you need to sign this. So, but you don't have to be a member to attend here. So I want to emphasize that. So. I'm going to hand this over, but we encourage you to become members. I'm going to pass this around, and you can just put it over on the table when you're done with it.
And even if you signed up last year, you have to re-sign this year. It's a yearly thing.
One of the non-legal advantages to you being a member is it identifies you to me and the leadership, so that we just know, I guess, better who we're accountable for. And if you come every week or most of the time and don't sign the membership, we'll still know who you are. So it doesn't mean you're joining the kingdom of God. But anyway, ushers, would you come up at this time? We'd like to receive our offering. Church, let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we bow before you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Even this day, as we remember what Christ has done for us, so we remember how you continue to provide for us. We give you thanks. Help us today to not only be generous with our money, but to be generous with our hearts, to be generous with our service to others. We pray blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen. new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Wow. Good job. Terry Bradbury, would you come up, please? And she is going to be joined by Amanda Neer. Amanda, would you come up? So how many years ago did you first move to Mexico?
2002.
So that's 14 years ago. Mike and Terry moved to Mexico. And when they got to Mexico, they discovered a church called La Viña. And they were so thrilled with the ministries at La Viña that not only did it become their church for the months here in Mexico, but they discovered the mission teams that La Viña welcomes to come and minister. And for year after year, for like 10 years, we had mission teams that come down that Mike and Terry managed from Mexico, and Amanda managed and coordinated from here, and then they all got together. Then we had a break in the season while Amanda went to Haiti for several years. What, 5 years to Haiti? And now we're back to old Mexico. Say something about the team and then introduce them.
Well, I have to say, I think this was the best team they ever brought down. And they were such great people. They were hardworking. They were dedicated and really, really just gave of themselves. And we just really enjoyed them all. And it was just really a fun trip, although it was a lot of work. And Amanda just did an amazing job. Even my husband said, wow. You know, when they were having their morning devotions before breakfast, it was just very, very powerful. And very, not superficial in the least, but very deep and very powerful. It was great.
Thank you. All right. Well, we did it. We went down. We were there for a solid week, and it's never enough time. I agree with Mike and Terry. It was one of my favorite teams ever. It's hard, like your children, to pick a favorite, but we have, I'll tell you this, like when you get 20 people together, there's even, and maybe especially if they're believers, sadly, there can be some drama. There can be some conflict. There can be personality clashes that cause division. And I am here to tell you that did not happen this time. We had not a bit of that. When there was a personality clash, like, and it happens, each person on the team just handled it so appropriately and biblically, and I could not have been more proud. It's almost like a dream. Like, all of our team members are kind of like in this daze of, like, it's raining. We were in the ocean last week in bathwater. But, like, beyond that, like, I think, and more important than that, the team, we fell in love with each other. I was thinking about this on the way over here. Like, I loved them before we even left. I loved them in the way Jesus tells you to love them. The ones I didn't know very well, instantly loved them, probably annoyingly so. And then, like, we go down there, and the more time we spend together, this concentrated time with, like, united purpose, I really love them. I really love them. I'm so proud of them. And it was an awesome time. One thing, I'll share a little more after we share some pictures, but I just wanted to give you guys a little overview of, like, the work that was done. And we say it not to, like, oh, look at us, look at these things we did, because really it was nothing. We felt like we could do this every day, all year, years and years in a row, and it just never feels like enough. We didn't pray with enough people. We didn't feed enough people. We didn't love on enough kids, and that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is to go down and minister the love of Jesus, whether that's playing freeze tag, whether that's praying for them, whether that's giving them attention. Even if you don't speak their language, they can feel your love. And this team did that from the youngest to the oldest. They did it every day they were called upon. It's Mexico, the ministry. It's a full-time job to just figure out what's going on there. The schedule changed many, many times, and these people just adapted like rock stars. And they did it so graciously, and it's frustrating when people are regimented and they have a normal schedule, and then you're taking them to this country. 15 or so of them had never been on a mission trip. Many of them got their passports for the first time. And so it was a lot, and they handled it beautifully. We went to several different locations. They're called colonias. They're little neighborhoods. And some of you guys have been on the trip before. You know what it's like. We'd load out a mobile kitchen. We would cook hundreds of meals a day. We went and did hamburgers up at a dump. We just were all over the place. It really did happen kind of in a whirlwind, like I said, there. And the team was going to share a little bit in a little while. But we went to several different colonias, and I put together some pictures from the trip that are kind of from start to finish. So you'll see pictures of them playing with kids. You'll see pictures of them loading supplies in a parking lot. We made up 120 food bags. We passed those out the first day. We cooked hamburgers and hot dogs, and it was a great adventure. And so before I say any more, I just want you guys to... Oh, that's right. That's right. I was thinking that too. So if you guys who are over in that corner cannot see the screen, I'd like you, if you want to see, come and maybe stand behind these chairs or shift so that you don't miss any of the pictures. The whole front row, you guys, is empty here. So you want a rock star seating closer to Jesus, closer to the cross. Just kidding. Okay, so this is a video, and I'm going to justify the length of the video by telling you 20 people. And please believe I wanted every one of them to be seen in the video. So this is just the highlights from start to finish, not including free days and free time. There you go. That's right. That's right. I wanted to just share a few verses. My prayer in 2010, when we had our last mission trip to Mexico, it was a very God-directed change for us to stop going. I would have just happily continued on until forever. It's hugely impacting when for the people that get to go, and it's a huge blessing for the ministry down there to get regular support, people coming to love them and support them. Pastor Skip's big takeaway in 2007, I think, when he was with us, was that they do this every day. And the reality is they do this every day. They're full-time ministers down there, missionaries and lay people. And what struck me on this trip was that there's so many people down there, and they get to, like, when a team is there, we get to bring them out and have a great time with them, and it's awesome. But then the team goes home. And maybe they like make friends in a course of a week, which can happen. And then they have to say goodbye. So it's really hard to be the one doing it full time. For us, it's a super mountaintop experience, and you come back to reality. But for them, they do it all the time. And so for us, I want to just remember, like, keep them in your prayers. Keep ministers and missionaries around the world, especially the ones we know and have touched, in our prayers. We don't go down there like super heroes. We go down there as an extension of the hands and feet of Jesus. And so I want to just tell all of you guys here present, and for all of the people represented and the families represented, just thank you. Thank you for your financial support. That is huge. That got us down there. That fed a lot of people. That bought a lot of supplies for us to do some really great work. But the biggest thing you did for us was pray for us. I don't think that we got along so great and had this blissful interpersonal time because we're just awesome. I think... I think that it was a lot of your guys' prayers. You kept us healthy. You kept us safe. You kept us united. And the minor little hiccups with what did you eat that caused you to have that reaction, it was very brief. And I think that was prayer. And I praise Jesus. And there's countless things we could say. But I just want to be given encouragement to our team that what you guys did was... You were Jesus to people. And it doesn't matter. I mean, some people come back from this trip feeling I didn't do enough. I should feel different. I should now be changed. I should just change. Everything in my life should be just wrecked for God's glory. And it's a process. God, you were obedient, and God is faithful to reward you for that. So I wanted to share some scripture that ties that in. Matthew 25:40, when Jesus is talking, he says, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. When you handed out water, when you gave attention, when you played with these children, when you supported and you wrote a check to send these kids in our group down, when you prayed for us, we were all in it together. We felt your love. We felt your support. Another verse is Colossians 3:17, and it says, and whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I can tell you, as the leader of this group, that these people on this team, they did exactly that. You would be incredibly proud of them. And I think God was so glorified in their hearts and in their service to him. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. And we went down there knowing that's who we're there to serve. It doesn't matter how many people we feed, how many lives are touched. If we're the one in front of us is getting the love of Jesus from us, then we've done our job and we're doing it like we're doing it for him. And one more verse before I ask Doug to come up, is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. And I want us to remember that, because what we can see is what we can see. We touch and we feel, and if it's in front of us, then we can grasp that. But we have no idea what God does behind the scenes. We have no idea the impact that our short little visit will make. And God knows that. And so if we're working for him and we're faithful to him and our goal is to glorify him, then the outcome, that's what the outcome will be. He's in charge. He changes lives. He moves on hearts. And I just am so thankful that we had this opportunity. We're looking forward to the next trip. And so I'd like to introduce Doug Turpiny.
Hola. Sorry. Hola, buenos dias. Thank you guys so much again for letting us go down there. And I've specifically asked if we could do something a little different, because what we experienced down there was, you can't describe it. As one of my kids said, something inside of me has changed and I don't know what it is. So I'll say this once, twice, and probably 12 times to you. Go. Do it. I just can't encourage you enough. It is amazing. If you're worried about raising funds, it's amazing how the money came in. If you're worried about getting sick, God protected us. But go, go, go. A, I want you to be able to hear those personal stories from people. But B, I want you to hear that you can go, right? Like, they're just like you. What I love about it is that, you know, Wanda, where's Wanda? Wanda, will you stand up, raise your hand? If anybody that doesn't know Wanda, that's Wanda back there. She's 39 years of age. And she went at the young age of 39. And Carly, where's Carly? Carly, when you left, how old were you? You were 10. She had her birthday while she was down there, so now she's 11. But so you can go from 11 to Wanda's 39-ish, right? And And I'll be honest. I mean, Mike, Marty, and Wanda outlasted a lot of the kids, to be honest. Like, they were amazing. So if you think, well, I can't because I'm not young, that's not a good excuse. If you say you're too young, Carly was 10, that's not a good excuse. And it was super life-changing. I want to thank a few people. I want to thank the parents, like Odessa and Tom and David and DDR and Miriam, that sent their kids and entrusted us with them. It was great that you guys trusted us and let us have your kids with us for a while, and it was a great joy. Amanda was amazing as a leader, and I won't keep going on this, but she did amazing. And the Bradburys were incredible to us as well. So But what I really want to wrap up is what I kept thinking, what could we give you? You guys gave, you prayed, and I really want a couple of key people to come up here because I want you to hear stories of God doing miracles and God doing amazing things so that, like us, that your faith would grow, that you would be able to be a part of what we experienced. So if Zach and Jonathan would come up here, they're going to share a little bit about how God worked in their lives, specifically down there. And we'll go from there. So, John, I'll have you go first, and then we'll have Zach go.
Hello. And, okay. This is kind of embarrassing to say in front of all of you guys, but my dad introduced me wrong. My name is Juan. So, so we're going to a colonia, which is like a small neighborhood, and we were there, and even though we had talked about giving testimonies, I'd kind of forgotten about it. And we're like, oh, in about 15 minutes, someone's going to have to share the testimony. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. And then they're like, how about you do it? I'm like, me? So then in 15 minutes, I make one up on the fly. And then, so I didn't think it was very good. So I just say there line by line, and Junior nicely translates it to me, translates it for them. And then I didn't think it was very good, but it was just about how praying to God impacts me. So I didn't think it was that good. But then later we were praying for kids, and one of the kids was like, I want to pray with John, Juan. So I got to pray for them, but they're talking a different language. So they just come up to me, and they say Madre or Padre. So I'm like, what about their mom or dad am I praying for? So you go through the list. Are they sick? Are they dead? Are they abusive? Are they looking for a job? You know, you don't know what. So you just pray for it all. But it's like a deep prayer. And it was a nice prayer. And it's like a sincere prayer. And I really enjoyed praying for them. So thank you.
All right. So my name is Zach. And a little bit of backstory before we jump into Mexico. My entire life, I've suffered from anxiety and panic attacks, and some worse than others. Just this year, before school, like as school started, it was super debilitating, and I didn't know how I was even going to go to school, so that was hard, and I didn't know what I was going to do. But from the time I was a little kid, probably 4 or 5, that's when my dad left. I didn't know how my mom was going to support us. She wasn't working at the time. We were in an apartment. Money was super tight, so we had to move back to my grandparents. So we lived with them for a while. Then my mom got remarried. And again, bad relationship. So that broke up. And we went back with my grandparents. Then she had a stable job, and we moved out to a bad neighborhood, but into our own apartment, and I shared a room with my brother, very small, no cable, no TV, no nothing. It was just really hard. So what came from that has been this overprotectiveness in my life, which, and worry for my loved ones, which kind of just always worrying about them, always seeing everything around them as a threat and what I can do to protect them. So that's just kind of a little backstory. And then going to Mexico, something to add on to that. I've never really stayed over the night at anyone's house, never gone to birthday parties, sleepover, anything, because every time I did, I would have a panic attack. I'd have to call my mom to come home. So it was pretty hard. But going to Mexico, when I first heard about it, I was like, yeah, I'm super excited. Then never heard back from anyone. Then I think 2 months, 3 months before, Amanda's like, you still want to come? I was like, sure, why not? This is going to be great. So up until about the week before, I never once thought about my anxiety or anything. And the week before was really hard, and it finally kind of hit me, like, I'm going to be flying for the first time. I'm going to be going to a foreign country. I'm going to be going to one of the poorer, shadier parts of Mexico and going out and just serving God. So how is my anxiety going to go into this? So the night before, I probably got an hour's worth of sleep, and I woke up, and I was pretty good going to the airplane. I was all fine. Got on the airplane, took off, was kind of shaky. That's scary if you've never flown before. But, yeah, that was good. All good. Get to Mexico. Still fine. Everything's good. Get introduced to everyone, Mike, Terry, everyone at the church. Then we go out to dinner, and everything's good for a little while. Then about halfway through dinner, I feel panicky for the first time, and I'm super nervous and scared, so I kind of try to block it out, but it keeps coming. And so I excuse myself, and I break down in the bathroom of the taco time, which is hard. And I just start crying, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm in a foreign country. I can't go home. I can't contact parents. I can't do anything. So I'm like, all right, pray. So I just pray, and I suck it up, finish dinner, try to, go home, back to the hotel, and break down again after swimming or whatever. And I didn't know how it was going to stop. This felt was like one of the worst panic attacks in my entire life, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So, with Sierra and Mr. Turpening and Junior, they all prayed with me as I just broke down and sat on the floor of my hotel building and just prayed. And I didn't expect anything to come from it, because with my life of panic attacks, I've always prayed and hasn't really affected me. And I would think, okay, they're just going to pray and they're going to leave, then I'm going to go to bed, stay up all night, then it's going to happen for the next 7 days. But something was different about that, because I almost instantaneously didn't have any more fear or worry or panic, and I slept that night pretty good, actually. And just for the rest of that trip, I was totally fine. And it was amazing, because I just felt this overwhelming peace that, yeah, it was God. And it was incredible. So that was the first time that just my anxiety has been cured, in a sense. And ever since then, I haven't felt it at all. And so it's just an amazing experience. And so I want all of you guys to go, or at least make an effort, and not just go down there for the sake of how am I going to change. I have a problem right now. I'm suffering from depression, anxiety, anything. I don't want you guys to go down there and say, all right, this is going to be, I'm going to be cured. People are going to pray for me. This is all going to be good. I'm going to be cured. No, I want you guys to go down there with the intent to serve other people and to make their lives better. Because as I go through there, and as I go through the dump and the different colonias, my anxiety seems smaller and smaller as a problem, especially when going to the dump. You see these people literally climbing on top of garbage trucks because they know that this specific one has the best stuff. So people are literally climbing and piling inside the garbage trucks and getting on top and just ripping it out and grabbing it. And you see that and you're like, well, I only have anxiety. I have a home. I have a bed. I have clothes. But these people are literally digging through trash just to get a couple extra bucks. So I want you to go down there, and I want you to touch their lives. And even if you don't think you are, just talking with someone and being a friend to someone touches and impacts their life more than anything else. Like Amanda said, we're just an extension. We just come down there as a different team from other people, because other people and other teams are going down. They get fed every week. How do you think that you're going to make an impact? By talking to one specific kid, playing games, doing something, making an impact, and making them remember you, and just be a friend to them, because they're not different. So I just encourage all of you to go and to go with the intent to touch their lives and not your own.
Thank you, Zach. And Zach wasn't the only one who had pain, and people prayed for them and were healed. And that's really the gift we want to give to you guys, that when we were down there, there were desperate situations. Zach couldn't go home. He couldn't fly home. For me, it was praying for these teenage boys who say, my house is abusive, mom's going to leave, and I'm going to be all alone, and I have no idea what to do. How do you pray when you're in Mexico? I'm not going to take him in. I can't do anything. And for me, I had a profound experience, like John said, that the only thing I had was Jesus. That's the only thing I could give these people. And I prayed at a depth that I don't think I have ever prayed for anybody ever before. And I was changed. And I thought, you know what, Jesus, I want to be in desperate situations where I get to pray at that depth where you are the only solution. And then I come back and I think about it and I look at my house and I have this wonderful house and I have this warm bed, like Zach said, and it kind of puts everything in perspective. But you know what I want for me and I want for you is we're desperate for Jesus. We may think that all these other things that the world tells us, that we're going to have this great house and these great cars and this great 401k, it doesn't. And I need to be desperate for Jesus, and I hope you get to be desperate for Jesus and pray that he is the only solution. One of the great pitchers that you wouldn't have noticed was a gal by the name of Sarah, who, because of this church and Lavinia loving on her, she's one of those gals that's come out of that colonia to have a different life because Jesus was her only answer. So my prayer for you is that you would hear Zach's story, you would hear John's story, you would hear everybody's story and realize that that's available not just in Mexico, but in Banks, Oregon, today for us right now. And go to Mexico. There's just something about being outside of your comfort zone, being in a different spot where all you have is Jesus, that makes it much, much more alive to you. Well, I'm going to pray for us and wrap things up. God in heaven, I thank you for this incredible church. I thank you that they loved on the 20 of us by giving and supporting us, Lord. It's amazing to be a part of a group like that. But Jesus, help us not just to be missionaries. Help us not just to be alive to you. Help us not just to see the need to love people when we're away. But Lord, change me, change my heart, that I will love everybody that I come in contact with your love. God, I thank you for the joy when you are my only hope, when you are everything to me, and how you fill me in unexpected ways. Lord, I pray for all of us that we would be desperate and see you give us joy and peace and love and grow in our faith, Lord. Holy Spirit, please increase our faith. Please, when we are weak, when we have little faith, when we doubt you, when we don't even know who you are, and if you're really listening to us, Holy Spirit, carry us, draw us closer to you, give us that faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So we all tried to wear our Lavinia. So this was I did actually have a Mazatlan shirt, but when it went through the dryer, it became Andrea's. And so other than that, you'll notice we all try to have a Lavinia, something or other, or Mazatlan on us. So this was my garb, but our John Deere over here, Junior. But really, if you are at all interested, please talk to us. I guarantee you, some of us were crying in the back just remembering what God got to do through us. So, hang in.
So this week we have been reading through the book of Romans. We got to chapter 12. I'm going to summarize the whole week's reading and close us with this verse. Brothers and sisters, in light of all I've shared with you about God's mercies, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God, a sacred offering that brings him pleasure. This is your reasonable, essential worship. Do not allow this world to mold you in its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. Is that a good prayer for us? Even as you've transformed lives and you've heard the testimonies of many this morning, so transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just wanted to say one thing. Not only did these kids impact the people in Mexico that were out in the colonias, but they impacted the gringos. I thought that for Zach, who had anxiety, to stand up in front of 300-plus gringos and give his testimony was amazing. And those, he had a whole bunch of those ladies in tears sobbing while he was talking about his anxiety. And when John wasn't even, Juan, excuse me, wasn't even scheduled to do his testimony, and David was so impacted by Jonathan, Juan, that he just called him up on the stage and in front of all of those people said the same, pretty much the same little testimony that he had before. But they just all fell in love with him because he was so precocious and amazing. So anyway, it wasn't just the people out there. It was everybody. And I think that probably, I don't remember that they've ever had a team called up to give their testimonies in church. You know, maybe they'll get up and say one thing about their trip, but this was really different. So I think this team impacted a lot of people, and it was amazing.
So if John in Spanish is Juan, then Jonathan must be Juanathan. Okay. Folks, you are dismissed. We have fellowship to enjoy. We have beverage. We have some food to eat. You don't have to go anywhere. You're dismissed.